using numerical methods, sorry. Font then extended the same study using finite volume schemes, using more advanced codes. Of course, 10 years later, you'd expect them to be more advanced. And then extended the study to consider infinitely thin disk accretion onto the equatorial plane of a spherically symmetric and non-spherically symmetric black hole. This seemed to stop the research along these lines for quite some time, until recently when Blakely considered non-symmetric perfect fluids accreting onto a fully three-dimensional black hole. So there wasn't any assumed symmetry in the flow past the black hole. Ferris, which has results that were very useful for this type of workshop, where he studied Bondi and Bondi Hoyle type accretion onto binary black holes while they merge. And then more recently, Don Mez went back to look at the infinitely thin disk accretion onto a rotating black hole and discovered instabilities in the flow profile, where all the previous authors appear to have found a more or less steady state accretion onto these moving black holes. What's important with all of this previous work is that, you can see there's only 6 well-known cases, or at least researchers, but none of these involve magnetic fields. So what I did was went back to the basics, took a look at the Font and Abanez model, where you have a fixed space-time background, and now I'm going to model accretion of a magnetofluid onto this. And to use the stationary space, the stationary space-time background, we make 2 limiting assumptions: that the accretion rates are not sufficiently strong enough to modify the space-time background. And of course, as most of us, if not all of us, know, this leads to 2 possible backgrounds, where we have the rotating black hole, the Kerr solution, parameterized by its mass m and its spin a. In the limit that a goes to 0, we recover the Schwarzschild solution. So I've said I want to study the accretion of a magnetized flow onto the black hole. Well, we make more limiting assumptions: that the fluid background is ideal, an ideal gas equation of state. We take the perfect conductor limit, so that leaves us with ideal magnetohydrodynamics. These are simplifications, purely for the fact that this is the first time this has been investigated, so there's no sense in going overly complicated right away. We get our equations of motion, has been described this morning and a few times over the week. We basically take our conservation laws and the Maxwell equations that pertain to the evolution of a magnetic field, meaning the induction equation and the no magnetic monopole constraint. More technical details: you use ADM variables to make this as compatible as possible with proper dynamic black hole evolution codes. So left again, we want to use the Valencia formulation. To do these simulations, I wrote my own finite volume technique. As said, what I didn't tell you is that this was work done during my PhD at UBC, so I had to develop my own code so I could understand what goes on and all the torture that's involved in trying to write things like the Einstein toolkit. Other important features, I use the HLL flux approximation just because it's quick and robust, and I use hyperbolic divergence cleaning, again, because it's quick and it's robust, and more importantly, it's simple. So the evolution of the actual evolution of the code: we have the domain of integration, black hole is at the center, the fluid flows up the screen in the simulations. The fluid is completely specified by its asymptotic properties. So we set the speed of sound, the adiabatic constant, the flow either the flow speed or the speed of the black hole through the background fluid. Because we have a magnetic field, we have to find an observable that will tell us what the magnetic field strength of the fluid will be, of the magnetized fluid. So we use the plasma beta parameter, again, as seen by an observer at infinity. And one thing I haven't pointed out is that the magnetic field to maintain the axisymmetric flow, it needs to be aligned with the axis of symmetry, which also corresponds to the axis of rotation when the black hole is rotating. This is the Wald solution found in 74. And so I try to show a movie, see if this works. What happens, I start with a uniform fluid background, and it turn on the evolution, the black hole is again propagating down. And we see for the density profile, we see we reach a steady state solution, or what seems to be a steady state solution. Important features here, I mean, we do have the tail shock, as you'd expect from the hydrodynamic simulations, but we also end up with a depleted region, a location in the immediate vicinity of the downstream side of the black hole, where the rest mass density starts to tend towards zero. When we investigated this, we found that does everyone see there's a green line in there? There's even a red line. That should have been darker, sorry. What happens is we take a look at the pressure cross sections for the various quantities involved. And so we see for the test, to test against the original background of no magnetic field, we run the system with, well, of course, the magnetic field is zero. When we turn on the magnetic field, we end up with a magnetic pressure, which goes as the magnitude squared, roughly. And then we have the resulting thermal pressure, which is just the regular hydrodynamic pressure that has been disturbed by the fact that there's a magnetic field present. And we see that the magnetic pressure holds the thermal pressure away from the axis symmetry. And we'd expect that the resulting bearing rest mass density would have to flow along the field lines, leaving this vicinity. So we know that that should be a physical effect. Oh, and the other important feature, again, for this first case is a non-spinning black hole. We see that when we add the thermal pressure to the magnetic pressure, we end up with a profile that has similar features. It's not the same as the hydro model, but it does have the same feature that the total pressure is maximum on the axis of symmetry. And to continue with this, we basically show you the exact same time slice for all of the pressure profiles, the thermal, magnetic, and then we add them to get the total pressure, and we see that it is uniform and it has very strong similarities to the hydrodynamic models, but only when you take into account the entire the total pressure of the system. What might be more relevant is the fact that the presence of the magnetic field is seen. We measure the mass accretion rate. This is measured at the on the event horizon of the black hole, simply because we were looking for instabilities and figured they would be most dominant on the event horizon for the particular instability we were looking for. But we see that there is a very small change, even with the with a large background magnetic field. And what was more interesting is the fact that the hydrodynamic model, so that the plasma beta parameter, because it goes as 1 over the magnetic field squared, is infinite, we see oscillations. So the hydrodynamic model shows that there's oscillations in the late time accretion. But when we turn on even the small magnetic field, we find that these oscillations are completely damped. (Clears throat) And so to try to keep it short, because this is being proposed as a test case for future future codes, let me show you the this is now what we turn on non-zero spin. We have the black holes rotating at half maximum. We see a very similar profile. When we take the pressure cross sections as we did before, we find that the magnetic pressure is actually decreased, but still keeps the thermal pressure away from the axis of symmetry. But what I found important is the fact that you weakly see this, but the hydrodynamic model, so no magnetic field, is still maximum on the axis of symmetry. However, when we take a look at the thermal pressure, or sorry, the total pressure, the thermal plus the magnetic, we find that the pressure profile actually decreases on this axis. From my perspective, that's interesting because it offers a different flow profile that isn't expected when we look at the purely hydrodynamic models. So again, looking at the mass accretion rates, we see that they reach a steady state. That when we look at a particular model, I would like to say that we still damp out the oscillations in the hydro model, but we simply don't have them anymore. So the whole system seems to be a little smoother when we have a rotating axisymmetric flow onto a rotating black hole, where again the flow velocity is parallel to the rotation axis. Another thing for, that I would like to point out, because we use the hyperbolic divergence cleaning, where you introduce an auxiliary variable into the Maxwell field equations that promotes the no magnetic monopole constraint to an evolution, a hyperbolic evolution equation for the auxiliary field, we would expect that this quantity has to converge towards zero. And in fact, I would think that this auxiliary field may not necessarily have any physical meaning, but we can still use it to test the convergence rates of these codes to determine at what point do we stop trusting the evolution and just terminate the simulation. due to the fact that I believe this is a feature for most relativistic codes, that the that eventually the DIV-B violations become so strong that the simulation is no longer credible. So this would suggest that there is a way of measuring that quite quickly using this different constraint technique. So the outstanding issues from this simulation should be quite clear. The fact that I've pointed out there's many limiting assumptions being made. But what's more important is that there's still a fair amount of debate as to what the best technique to maintain the no magnetic monopole constraint will be. There's some arguments saying that the hyperbolic divergence cleaning method, because it introduces up to two free parameters, is not necessarily the best because, I mean, it increases the parameter space, making something that's already rather large even bigger. But, of course, there's always a trade-off because this method introduces one extra field, removes a lot of averaging, and greatly simplifies the codification. Other outstanding issues of the flow itself, I mean, real flows are not likely to be uniform or ideal fluids. And based on talks we seen yesterday, if we were to extend this MHD simulation to the level that Ferris had done with the binary black hole problem, we will definitely have to include electromagnetic accretion, not just ideal MHD as I had done. And to summarize and conclude, the introduction of a magnetic field doesn't seem to modify the steady state behavior of the axisymmetric accretion flow. We do see that the rotation introduces an impact on the flow morphology, but only in the MHD case. Hydrodynamics is not, there's no grand morphological differences. And there's the presence of a depletion region near the black hole in the on the axis of symmetry. Ultimately, because of the fact that it does reach a steady state, I'd suggest this is another in a series of test cases that people could use on their while developing MHD codes. And because this is a stationary space-time background, I mean, this would obviously be one of the early tests in code development. And that's what I had to say about that.
So maybe just a comment, because I know you were trying to be provocative by saying, well, maybe there is a problem with divergence cleaning based on, for instance, the fact that you have additional parameters. But, I mean, on the other side, every single binary black hole simulation that has worked because there were free available parameters that one could tweak for controlling behavior. So in some sense, the divergence cleaning parameters are no different than the constraint damping parameters that they are being used in the GH formulation. So I don't buy that argument at all, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me. But there's
I completely agree. But again, these are comments I had brought to me by some researchers who I think have already written code and just don't like the idea that there's something new to challenge them. Ultimately. There can be quick studies to determine what the best parameters for the, certainly for the damping parameters to see what works best for specific codes. But like I said, I was trying to outline that there are some issues. I guess the point is that no method seems to be perfect yet.
Any other questions?
In three dimensions, I haven't tested in three dimensions yet, but it's coming. The hydrodynamic models all seem to indicate that they're, at least for the time that they're evolved, they're steady. As I said earlier, the Donmez model suggests that if you evolve these simulations long enough, eventually instabilities do present themselves, and this was used as an explanation for describing quasi-periodic oscillations. I think it was the galactic center is what they were trying to model. They ran their simulations to T is about 10,000. I've only gone as high as 2,500, not for any particular reason. That was just a cutoff to say, let's see what happens now. I could run it for longer. I mean, the convergence tests seem to indicate that there's no reason that I shouldn't be able to run it for longer. We didn't have massive constraint violations occurring yet. So, I mean, I guess the answer is we'll have to wait and see until either somebody does it or I do it. I've just shown you a small sample of what I've actually done. But, yeah, there was a series of them. Unfortunately, only late in the analysis did I find out that if I had gone slower, there might be more interesting features, such as a bow shock, that could form when you go slower. I do have some simulations, but they're not MHD, so I didn't present them. All right, so what happened with the bow shock simulations were actually done using ultra-relativistic fluid backgrounds. So we used the P is equal to gamma minus 1 times the internal energy without we neglect any rest mass contribution. That's what I should have said. And so in those models, I do find that a bow shock forms, but there's all the simulations, both axisymmetric and the infinitely thin disk, are steady.
Jason again, and